Chazdei Hashem. Rav Hirsch views in Parshas Mishpatim the opportunity to continue what he does so often in his commentary, as we've been seeing from week to week, and that is to use this as an opportunity to speak in general about the whole structure of Torah, Torah Shebuksav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Mishpatim, of course, lists so many of the interpersonal laws between Jews, and Rav Hirsch uses this opportunity to philosophize about what the whole goal of Torah is, what the whole goal of Yiddishkeit is. Now, last week we did not really have the chance to speak about the very end of Yisro. This week Rav Hirsch has about 150 pages on his commentary in Mishpatim, so we're certainly not going to exhaust that either. But his beginning comments are playing off what he just spoke about. So you do have to look a little bit at the end of Yisro to know about what he's referring to, the beginning of Mishpatim. The end of Yisro, he says a few, the Torah says a few things. Lo sasu niti Elohei chesef Elohei zav, don't make golden and silver images of me. Mizbach adama ta'aseli, the mizbeach should be made of dirt. And in mizbach avonim ta'aseli, if you make the mizbeach out of stones, do not use any metal in hewing the stones. You can't use any metal because metal symbolizes the sword, and the sword has no place on the mizbeach. And then he says, do not walk up steps to the mizbeach. It should be a ramp and not steps because of gilui erva. That's what the Torah says, because if you walk steps, your tunic may become raised and there'll be some, it'll be inappropriate gilui erva. So Rav Hirsch's commentary here is playing off his commentary on those psukim. So look what he says. Ve'ela, with a vav. B'psukim asimuch l'fnechen dibra akos b'mivna mizbeach. The Torah just talked about the mizbeach. Shebo mispatei b'derech symbolit. Symbolic. Ha'ikaron ha'isodi. Kol yachaseinu l'Hashem yuvan kach. Shiyabasis eisan uvilti mis'arer. L'vinyan ha'chevra b'ruach ha'tzedek v'ha'enoshiyut. U'l'hischazko shal yachid v'yachid b'ruach ha'moser v'atznias. This is a theme that runs through Rav Hirsch's whole commentary of Mishpatim. What is the goal of Judaism? What is the whole point of Judaism? Rav Hirsch always seems to wax philosophical about macro ideas about what Judaism is all about. And he says our whole relationship to Hashem will be understood that the whole goal is lebinyan hachevra, to building a society, beruach hatzedek v'ha'enoshiyut, with the spirit of justice and humanity. And for the strengthening of every individual, with the spirit of atznius, that's who he's going to refer back to the mizbeach, and musar, character. And now, says Rav Hirsch, that's why the vav of ve'ela comes to include the mishpatim. Asher yasdiru es binyan achevra yadus al ikar natzedek v'hanoshiyut. Same thing. That's why we got to get rid of the cherev. Aydekach turchak acherev. Cherev is a symbol of alimut and achzariyut. Strength and cruelty. Mitoch chevra samadina yahayudit. Judaism, the chevra, the Jewish culture has no place for cherev and for power being a determining factor of who are the preferred members of society. V'rak az tiyaru ilakim l'Hashem mizbeach b'kirba. L'fikach, kodmim ha-mishpatim l'binyan olmoid. That's why the mishpatim have to come before the real mizbeach, the building of Parshas Truma. Acha kach yivom v'yikra. Let's skip a little bit. Baram, nemar kan. Asher tosim l'fneim, now Rav Hirsch adds one point. It's kishulchan aruch, right? Chazal say, Rashi quotes, Chazal say, Asher tosim lefnehem. Rav Hirsch says the only place otherwhere in Chumash where you see this language of tosim lefnehem is vayusim lefanav lechol. It usually comes in the context of placing before somebody food to eat. And Rav Hirsch understands from that, look at the bolded area. Rav Hirsch understands for that kishulchan aruch, and this is going to be one of the fascinating, what I found to be a fascinating chiddush of Rav Hirsch in terms of the relationship between Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebaal Sav. He says Torah Shebaal Sav is really just a synopsis and a summary. I mean, I was always trained to understand pretty much the opposite. Now, Torah Shebichsav is the root of everything. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's basis. And the Torah Shebaal Peh is just an expansion of the roots of Torah Shebichsav. But Rav Hirsch really sees it the opposite. Rav Hirsch says, Torah Shebichsav... I apologize, but I don't know. There's feedback on these microphones. I don't know what that is. Rav Hirsch says, it's the opposite. Torah Shebaal Peh came before Torah Shebichsav. Klal Yisrael was learning Torah Shebaal Peh in the Midbar for 40 years. At the end of 40 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them like cliff notes. The cliff notes of Torah Shebaal Peh is Torah Shebichsav. That's how he understands Kishulchan Aruch. That these laws are the very specific bite-sized pieces that are easily digestible for you to have, like, you know, it's the cliff notes. Himamish says cliff notes in a minute. You'll see in a second. Mataras kol, this are my own notes. So the goal of all the chukim, let's just read the bolded at the end. Hakoteres, the title, the blot, the shar blot. Shema'ala mishpatam el kovasefos ha'ovda. Ki harishimos haksuvos habos mikan ve'elach. Michilochs rak mishpatim kolum k'tzarim. Shepratev dikdirim v'dachi bitzuam hamalei inyan hemlu mesor shebal peh. Havyom ki ha'psukim ha'elach shepator shebachsav kishal ha'atzmam. Now again, Rav Hirsch here, you're going to see time and again, he's reacting against those people in his time who say, okay, Torah Shebichsav I get, but Torah Shebaal Peh, I got to worry about every single detail, Torah Shebaal Peh. He's clearly coming to challenge and to obliterate that perspective. Rav Hirsch says, not only is Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebaal Peh completely meaningless, he says the Torah Shebichsav was only meant as a later synopsis of the Torah Shebaal Peh. As a matter of fact, my son, who studies in Eretz Yisrael, learns by great Talmud Chacham Rav Tzvi Berkowitz, said, just last night, we happened to be talking about it, he came home very late at night, just last night we were talking about this, and somebody asked, see, what's the point of Torah Shebichsav? Like, if the whole thing is really about Torah Shebichsav, why did Hashem do a Torah Shebichsav? It's a struggle but Rav Hirsch has a clear answer to that. He thinks it's the cliff notes. He thinks you're not always going to be able to have the whole Torah Shebaal Peh at your fingertips. So every Shabbos, when you go to shul and listen to the Torah, it's supposed to remind you of the Torah Shebaal Peh. But the Ikar is really Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebichsav is only there really to just be like these bite-sized reminders that every word means like 20 things. It happens to be that over the last 3 years, and I'm hoping I'm in the middle of a 3 out of 4 year project, early in the morning I study Bava Kama every morning. That's been my 4 year project, to study Bava Kama a little bit in. Early in the morning, not really be'in, but a little bit be'in. A couple of Tosas here, a Rashba here, whatever. A little bit be'in. I'm 3/4 of the way through a 4 year project. For me, this week is mamish the cliff notes. Parshas Mishpatim. Some great rabbis say if you know Parshas Mishpatim Chumash with Rashi, if you know it well, Mishpatim Chumash with Rashi, you know a huge chunk of Seder Nezikin, and you know a huge chunk, a huge important chunk, underrated. A huge important chunk of Maseches Bava Kama and Maseches Bava Metzia. Very important parts of Bava Kama, a little bit of Bava Basra, but you know, mostly Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Shor, you know, all the dinim of Shor Tam, Shor Mu'ad. For me, this is like a Chazara Shir. It's Mamish, if this Shabbos, Shnayim Mikra, doing Chumash with Rashi, it's Mamish a Chazara Shir on much of Bava Kama. I wouldn't get not the whole Bava Kama is vast, 120 blad, it's got a lot of details, but definitely a major piece. Hav Omer. Ki apsukim ha'el shevetor shebichsav kishelatzmam eina mivim lefneinu as kol ha'torah kula b'shleimusa as shleimus ha'torah lo nimtza ki im b'torah shebaal peh. Rav Hirsch, and he's going to, again, the beginning of this morning, he's going to continually harp on this. And again, Eved Ivri. When God is starting the laws, ask Rav Hirsch, why start with Eved Ivri? It's so ridiculous. That's not the thing that you would start from. And furthermore, again, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Eved Ivri. I hope not too much time. I'm going to go through a little bit quickly because I really want to come to two very, very, very strong and important points at the end. But he does spend a lot of time talking about Eved Ivri. And he says as follows. Shum davar lo yayin amitas ha-Torah shebaal peh le'inei ha-ma'ayin. Shedeyosav einon tfusos meirosh bebehirus kol gedola kmo shtei ha-parashios ha-rishonos. He says, if you look at the first two topics, anybody who thought that the Torah Shebichsav is really supposed to be the whole goal of everything, after reading the beginning, the whole parish of Eved Ivri and Yid of Amma Ivri and the way what the Torah starts off with, it's clear from what the Torah starts off with that this is not intended to be the exhaustive book. You wouldn't start your book with Eved Ivri. Hine, ba'a Torah azos, ba'a Torah lasis la'ames ha'choka ezrachi, the laws of the culture of community. V'haplili ulanaseh chasaklalim v'haurot shal tzedek v'shel ha'enoshiyot, justice and humanity. Shal piyam yustru yachse adam lechevro b'misgered amdina. That's the way the community is supposed to function. He says it does make sense that you, the first thing should be talking about human rights. The first thing discussion of human rights is what happens if man sells his friend? If a man sells his daughter? That's what we're talking about. If Torah Shebichsav was the book of laws, it would make no sense that the first things that you discuss are a man selling his brother and a man selling his daughter. Ridiculous, he says. Listen to his beautiful words. Achein, lo yala davar zeh hadas, ve'ein, I'm sorry. Lu haisa Torah Shebichsav v'hi levada, hamakor harishoni v'hayichidi shel hamishpat evri. Ma lo nemar v'nikba nidon v'hovar min astam b'terem tavar Torah l'adon v'mikrim ka'ela, shebevada einem ela mikrim yotzim min haklal. The Torah here starts with the yotzim min haklal cases. U'b'psukim ela sheyesh b'hem mishum hagbalat zechuyot ha'adam. These psukim talk about limiting a person's freedom. Ham kodosh b'yoseh u'shlilat ha'zchus shel ha'chirut ha'ishit. Limiting human personal freedom. B'psukim ela posech mishpat ha'Torah. Makes no sense that that's what you're starting off with. Therefore, says Rav Hirsch, Achein, lo ha-sefer hu makar ha-mishpat ha-ivri, ela divrei ha-torah ha-chayim b'misorah shebaal peh, v'ha-sefer hazeh eino ela siyua l'zikaron, v'asmachta b'mikra she-yisorah safek. Fascinating. Rav Hirsch says, what's the goal of Torah Shebichsav? It's funny, we usually are trained to think in terms of what's the goal of Torah shebaal peh. Again, many times I've shared with you Rav Soloveitchik's beautiful idea about how really, the Torah, and I spoke about it last night, that really the Torah, really the first time Hashem gave the Luchos, it was just Torah Shebichsav. And the second time he decided, oh, Klal Yisrael sinned, let me make Torah Shebaal Peh. Rav Hirsch almost seems to have like the opposite kind of approach, that no, Torah Shebaal Peh was the whole goal. Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael Torah Shebaal Peh for 40 years, first for 2 years around Har Sinai, and then for 40 years. And he only handed them Torah Shebichsav as like literally the cliff notes. And listen to Rav Hirsch's words, it's unbelievable. I found them to be incredible chiddush. Look what he says. So it's siyua lizikaron. It's like a way to help you remember, literally the cliff notes. V'asmachta b'mikra she'yisorah safek. And he talks about 40 years they were studying it before, and he only gave them the book at the end of 40 years. Ella, look at the next bolded, please. Al pirov mikrim mamashim bodidim. The Torah isn't an exhaustive list of laws. It's just yotzim and aklal cases. But they were taught with great precision and clarity. The Torah Shebichsav was in every word, every letter, every comma, every period, is there to teach you loads and loads and loads of details about each of the laws. L'shanot ha-mikraot she-b'sefer, asiyot gamein ma'ise uman, b'midekazos ad she-lorov mirumaz b'musagei yisod shalachok, kigon ayde bitu bilti mekubal, shinu b'mivne ha-pasuk, a change in formulation, a change in word usage, mekoma shel milaba pasuk, where is there a certain word in the pasuk? It was written so specifically and so carefully that every word and every way the word is said and prefix and suffix is there to teach you loads and loads and loads of details and to remind you. Hein, lo mitoch ha-sefer hazeh alein lisho v'zachok. No, you don't paskin halachos from Torah Shebichsav. This is not a halachic work. Torah Shebichsav is not a halachic work. Hein, lo nitan ha-sefer hazeh b'yadinu el amanas l'shamesh tizkores, like a mnemonic memory device. Liyodei ha-Torah, to people who already know Torah, who already studied Torah Shebaal Peh. Wow. K'dei sheyishmeru v'yir'anenu b'zichronam chadashim labakarim et yediat ha-mitzvot. Just to be a trigger to remind you of mitzvot that you already know. V'chein nitan ha-sefer b'dei morei ha-Torah kemachshir ho-ra. It's a teaching tool. Torah Shebichsav is a teaching tool. Almanas lichroch b'mikra'otav et misoret ha-Torah Shebaal Peh. In order to use it as a teaching tool for Torah Shebaal Peh. It's just as an easier way to review the laws. It's like a way to review the halachos. Michadash is Pratei HaTorah Sheba'al Peh Al Yisod HaRamazim Sheba Torah Sheba Ksav Munachas Lefneim. Unbelievable. Rav Hirsch says Torah Sheba Ksav is supposed to be just a way of remembering Torah Sheba'al Peh, a memory device.
And how do you explain why the cliff notes start with Evid Ivrit?
So he talks about that at length. He talks about it. Give me, it's the bottom paragraphs here, Joel. I was going to get to it in 1 second. Good point. Yachas Torah Sheba Ksav Torah Sheba'al Peh Ki Yachas HaTakzirim Shel HaSa'at Mada'it. A medical, a science lecture. He says the relationship between Torah Sheba Ksav to Torah Sheba'al Peh is like the relationship of notes from a 10-hour science lecture. So you took notes, you went to lecture. Shenemra Baal Peh B'Shlei Musa, El Ha'artz Asha Baal Peh. The relationship of the notes to the actual lecture. L'gabeit So'arei Hamada, She'shamu Et Ha'artzot Sheba'al Peh. If you sat through the 10-hour technical science lecture, so then the notes mean something to you. Maspik v'dai b'taktirin shebeksav. So you have notes. You have notes from the lecture. You don't, when you take notes on a lecture, you don't write every word of the lecture down. You just write the main points. And the main points cause you to remember the whole lecture. B'shvil she'yaskiru v'yir'anu la'atzmam tamid mechadash b'chaleis v'choshah es kol oso mada kulo. L'ro, for most people, da'ilem b'mila achat, one word, can remind you of like a whole 30 minutes of the lecture. Oh, Herbie, man, you would have loved this stuff. You would have loved this, Herbie. This is right up your alley. B'tosefet siman she'la, siman kriya, kav, nekuda, adding a question mark, a note, a line. Mila mudgeshet kriyos be'el l'ra'anim b'zichonam b'sidra shlema shel rayonot ha'arot v'hityas goat. L'gabe e'la, you could listen online to the first 15 minutes, Herbie. You'll love it. Legabe Ela Shalo Shamu as Haratos. That assumes my new phone knows how to record it. But okay. Ashalo Shamu at Haratos bin Pivshal Amorea, Yiu Ataktsirin Kev, as opposed to someone who didn't hear the lecture, the notes are completely meaningless. And that's why people who are the Karaites who study Torah Sheba Ksav, they can't bechlal understand a word of what Judaism is about. They totally mess up everything. If it's just Torah Sheba Ksav to you, it's like knowing the notes of the 10-hour lecture and not having been at the lecture. If you're not at the lecture and you just have the notes of the lecture, the notes are meaningless to you if you are an uninitiated science student. Yiu Ataktzirim ke'evan she'ein lahoftin. It's like a stone that can't be overturned. Im yishachzu es amada mitocha taktzirim bolvad. You want to try to understand the lecture from the notes without having been at the lecture? The notes are totally meaningless. Yishku bechreach b'ta'uyot, tons of mistakes. Milim v'simana kiyotz b'asher mishamshim l'talmidim. The words that for the Talmidim who know the Torah Sheba'al Peh are gold mines. For somebody who wasn't at the lecture, who doesn't study Torah Sheba'al Peh, they're just going to turn you off. They're going to be totally not understandable. Last paragraph. Ratza ha'Torah l'hachdi banu es ekronot ha'tzedek v'anoshiyot. Again, the goal of the Torah is to imbue us with the fundamental principles of justice and humanity. The goal is, Joel, you'll see this in a second, but the goal is to actually the opposite, to watch over carefully human rights. And it opens first with someone who steals. Ridiculous. Joel, the Gemara says, Evan, even we're talking about Machru Bezdin Bignevaso because he stole and he didn't have enough money to pay. Oh, so let's see. Let's look carefully at this law that God puts at the beginning, Joel, exactly your kasha. Nira. She'ein chok acher ha'asei kamo legalos lano es megamasam utchunasam shel chukei ha'Torah. He says there is no better law to teach us, begadol, the goals and the nature of the chukei ha'Torah. Hanivdalim b'tachlis ha'avdal l'fli klalut mahutam apniyit mikol chukot ha'goyim. He says that this law highlights the difference between the Jewish way of doing justice and every single other rule of law, every single set of laws. He said, I'll just give you the summary outside. In Judaism, there's no such thing as jail. Jail doesn't exist. This idea that you're going to make somebody a better person and help him reform him by putting him in a hopeless situation where he can't be productive, he can't love anybody, he can't care for any person, that's never going to help a person grow. Listen to what he says. Harei zeh hamikro ha'echad v'hayachid shebo gazra ha'Torah onesh shel shlilas chofesh. He says, Eved Ivri is the only case in all of Torah where we restrict somebody's personal freedom as punishment. It's the only case. And what do? We don't throw him in jail. We put him in a family. Like the juvenile delinquents who can't live in their own homes, we have to find a loving, caring, supporting family for this person. Unbelievable. This is what you do with a ganav. With a ganav, you put him in a family. Listen to what he says. It's not a punishment. Selling him as a slave is not a punishment. Like what we do with a juvenile delinquent. Amanas letakno, in order to fix him, to help him grow, to teach him how to function normally in a family. And not only that, the Torah makes all these laws. You know, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Hakona Eved Kikona Adon La'atzmo. You have to treat him, if you sleep with two pillows, he has to sleep with two pillows. If you eat steak, he has to eat steak. The Gemara says, we elevate him, we treat him, even this lack of freedom, we mamish make him, he's like a king. This was a robber. This is a robber. This is how you rehabilitate a robber, by giving him all these privileges? Look what he says. Onshe ma'asar, throwing people in jail, al kol avdana tikva, with all the lost hope that implies, v'hashchasas ha-musar ha-shochne ma'chori chomos beis ha-kela, and the destruction of all musar that we see from people who are locked away in jail. Al kol higun v'anachashe mivim al-ishto v'tapo shel ha-asir, ein lehem makom b'toras Hashem. They have no place in God's Torah. The common conception of locking a person away in jail, where he writes there, where he can't love, and he's totally separated from all other people. That's not a way to have a. Give me a second. Let me just finish this idea. Va'amnam, and even the one place, it's not an onish. Last paragraph. Ganav hanimkar b'gneva so chayv lahafse rakaserach ha'gneva. Right, it's just there to give him a chance to work and to pay back that which he. Stole. Vafilu, just look at the last line here. And not only that, why does he get acquired? Musag ha-kinyan hu yisod ma'amado shel adam ba'olam. Rav Hirsch here returns to an idea that he talks about all the time, that the whole goal of Judaism is for each family to build his own house and to make his own parnasa and to have his own independent freedom to be able to conduct his life and his spiritual life in that way. Musak ha-kinyan yisod ma'amado shel adam ba'olam uv'shmirato mitbateit ishiyuto shel ha'adam ka'adam. Right? Kinyan. No, we have to teach this. We have to teach this person who doesn't understand what's yours is yours and mine is mine. We have to teach him again how to rehabilitate his idea of kinyan. So we take away his rights to his own work to teach him till he can pay back, until he can get on his own feet and understand what it means to have your own rights and what it means to have your own property and what it means to respect other people's property. And so, Sharak b'mikra shel gneva, shi abda ha-torah et kol ishiyuto shel ganav l'chovat ha-tashlum. Just a little more, Yehuda, I'm taking your point in 1 second. I just want to finish this Eved Ivri point. In the next paragraph, I'm going to say it outside. He says the only time that we actually really degrade the slave, there's only one halacha through which we degrade the slave. He says the degrading of the slave, Herbie, is we allow him to marry a shifcha knanis, which a non-Jewish maidservant, which normally no one, you're not allowed to marry non-Jews. You're not allowed to marry non-Jews. Jews are not allowed to marry non-Jews. Not allowed to marry non-Jewish slaves. So he says, maybe, it's so fascinating what he says about that. Just take a look. He says, and maybe he suggests, Isha zu asura li Yisrael ben Choron, third line, second paragraph. Ve'ein kedushin tosimba, dahainu ein li nisuni ma mashmot musarit, ela fizit bevad. It's not a spiritual marriage, it's just a physical thing. Ve'ishazum yuchedes l'leved rak l'tkufas avdusa. He only stays married to her while he's a slave. Mikan nira. Shedavka halachzo amur lahachdir el todato et uvdat hidar durutam musarit. This is the one time where we say, look how low you are. That's the one message that we say to him. Look how low you are. We're going to treat you. We're going to, you know, you're almost like you did a maisa. We're going to allow you to marry a shiksa. We're going to allow to marry you a non-Jewish woman. To teach you that by stealing, you have lowered yourself. You have lowered yourself to such a low moral level. Right? You put the physical things first. Why do you only work 6 years and then you get freed in the seventh? He talks about how six in Judaism is the physical and seven in Judaism is the higher levels. Shabbos is Shemitah. So that's why the Eved Ivri also works for 6 years, because you buried yourself in the physical world by stealing, by making the physical world your whole goal. So we want to try to elevate your soul and realize that you're a six and seven. You're not just a six, you're a six and seven. So we let you work for six and then free you in the seventh as a symbolic elevation of your spiritual self, that you should realize that you lowered yourself by stealing. And that's what he talks about in the next paragraph. Stop. Yehudi had a point, yeah.
So by putting him in that family environment, you basically get to teach him or show him that how important it is to not steal.
Exactly, right.
What the implications are and how it affects the people.
Exactly correct.
You want to check that your phone is actually important.
It's working. Don't worry. I got it. Oh, now, Rav Hirsch's last couple of points that I thought were so beautiful that I rushed through the first part just to make sure that I got to the last part. Really, really beautiful points. He talks a little bit about marriage, about the Jewish marriage. He loves to talk about the Jewish home, as we said before, the Jewish marriage, and two final points here, which we'll go a little slower and try to develop them a little bit more at length. Says Rav Hirsch, Kol mashi yadu alano mi mekorotz sifroseinu halu umit al ma'amada ha'murumam shel ha'isha b'Yisrael. Everything we know about the way Judaism says a man is supposed to treat his wife, al yachas ha'horim el yaldeim, and the relationship that parents are supposed to have to their children, v'chein al ha'chiyuvim ha'mutalim al ha'horim b'shah shehim masim es yaldeim, and all the obligations that are placed on parents when they marry off their kids, mevi osan lidei hanacha b'rura, bring us to a very, very clear assumption. Shelo yimkar adam es bito elim kain higiu maim ad nafesh umatzavo dachuk biyoter. This idea that a father can sell his daughter as a slave for the ultimate purpose of marriage flies in the face, says Rav Hirsch, of everything we learned in Torah about how a husband is supposed to treat a wife and how a father is supposed to treat his daughter. And therefore, of her says, it's obvious to anybody who understands anything about Judaism. Again, here it goes back to the other point. If you just read this, you think we're a barbaric, crazy religion that's advocating. The very first law we talk about is sell your daughter as a slave under the age of 12. Says of Hirsch, that's ridiculous. There's no way that the Torah would start off with that halacha, let alone would condone it, let alone start off with it. It's crazy. Oh, says of Hirsch. But Judaism would no way advocating this. No, it's clear that Judaism is only allowing this as a complete last resort of a father who has lost all ability to support his children. Amanas lahasiya kechol sheefshar ulolam ein av Rashi limkar zbito elam kain hani. The Rambam writes, a father is not allowed to sell his daughter unless he's so poor. V'lo nisha lo klum lo karka lo matatlan afil ksonas she'olav. So the Rambam writes, a man is only allowed to sell his daughter if he no longer has any clothing for himself or for his family. Gam belav hachi alu lo laav lanatzel es suchuso lahasiya zbito kshiktana. It's also to sell your daughter, to marry your daughter off when she's a ketana. Ad she'tigdal v'tomar b'ploni ani rotzeh, until she's old enough to know who she really wants to marry. Umashma, she'asru lo rak lahasiya bal karcha. It's usr not only to marry her against her will, el af ledaber al liba, not even to convince her to taskim linasi leploni. Says of Hirsch, it's not appropriate for parents to try to convince their children who they should be marrying. It's absurd. Kedarkam shel horim ha-mishadchim ha-zbitam. Bris nisuim, the covenant of marriage, shetikshor lev el-lev. The covenant of marriage, which is a unity of two hearts. They got to make the choice, not the parents. It's got to be the kids making the choice. Titzlach, marriage can only be successful, rak mitoch ratzon gamur, only because the two parties are willing to take the plunge. HaTorah nisna la'avis azchus ha'chukis lahasi esbito aktana. Shekin yada HaTorah, sheha'ava Yisraeli, lo yishtamish b'shchus zu ela b'shas adchak. Unbelievable, says Rav Hirsch. The fact that a father can marry off his daughter when she's a ketana is not the Torah saying that this is the ideal way that things are supposed to go. It's because the Torah trusts that a Jewish father is only going to do this under the most extreme of circumstances. Wow. Let me just finish this. Kisha seder kazeh shel asid habas yavi la hatzala urvacha. When the father sees that the daughter's future has no other option for success other than this one. B'mikra kazeh, yesh bracha meruba, beheter achuki, shebenoi gazeh, kifishuch adavar b'tmuros hagoral shal am Yisrael b'galuto. Kiviyachol, says Rav Hirsch, listen to Rav Hirsch's take on this, Barry, I'll take your question in 1 second. Kiviyachol, nezra ha-Torah oz, v'nasna makom l'kiyumam shal musagei mishpat, what? Let me explain to her. Rav Hirsch says, the way I understand what the Torah is doing over here, by giving the father permission to sell his daughter as a slave, with the ultimate goal of having her marry the slave or his son, with the ultimate goal, Ne'ezra Torah owes. The Torah here is girding itself with strength and giving halachic basis to theoretical Torah constructs, which it knows in the strength of its laws that Jewish fathers are only going to use in a last resort. It's a statement of confidence in Jewish fathers that we will give this theoretical construct one far-flung actual Torah application, which we know he will only use in Shas Adchak. It's a statement of confidence and strength in Jewish fathers that they will never use this unless they really need it. Ki yada Torah. Listen to this unbelievable. He says it even more powerfully. Incredible. It's almost like, Joel, he flipped your question mamish on its side and said that's exactly the whole point. The fact that it's so ridiculous is why he started out with it. Look what he says. One more line. Ki yada Torah. This is so beautiful. Shekim kol shar mitzvoseh. Oh, so beautiful. A Jew who keeps the other 612 mitzvot can only possibly come to the conclusion that selling your daughter in this case is only an absolute last case, only last case, because the mussar and the hashkafa of the whole Torah flies in the face of everything that this stands for. There's no Jew who learns the whole rest of Torah that can ever come to the conclusion that would ever sell his daughter unless it's a last ditch possibility that you know that she's going to be no parent will give away his child for somebody else to raise unless it's an absolute, he knows that that child will never flourish in my house. It just won't happen. I don't have what to provide for that child. Oh, hein ki yada tar shekim kol shaman say ye atsev yit pachas nefesh ha'isha yisraeli ad she yesa roi she yitnu biyado efsharut kazot. The Torah even calls it bevigdoba. The Torah calls it a sin, a miktes of a sin. But it's a sin out of necessity that the Torah allows to happen. It is a travesty of raising. Vayhi omein es hadasa. Omein means to raise. It is a mi'ilah, it is a fallacy, it's a problem in raising the child. It's a direct stira to the way every daughter thinks that a father is going to raise her. And again, Rav Hirsch here, I'm sure, is dealing with people who are mocking this law. Forget about mocking Bechlau, but mocking why that Torah is starting off with it. We should look at this case as a yotze min haklal, she'eino melamed al haklal, which does not teach us about the klal. Yeah, Barry, I cut you off. I apologize.
He said, I believe you said that he said that really it's got to be within the children to decide to marry as opposed to the parents forcing, right? So that seems like there's an obvious question floating there, Shidduchim and all that. Is he basically saying he doesn't believe in it, or is that just, am I pulling something a little too...
No, I think that you are hitting on something. I think parents have a role to play. He does say that, they have a role to play. They can be helpful, they can be advisors, but at the end of the day, the decision has to be that of the children. He's very, very clear on that. He's very clear on that. And one last point here, Rabosai, or maybe two last points. Harei zeh mikra ayachid. Rav Hirsch, I'll say the last 2 points outside. The only time the Torah mentions the obligations that a husband has to his wife is in this case of the Eved. Of the Eved, right? Take a look at the Pasuk. You got to see the Pasuk inside. V'im livno ye adena. If this girl was sold as a slave. So either the master can do yiyud and marry her, or the master's son can do yiyud and marry her. Look what the Torah says. Imacheres yikachlo. If this son, who probably mistreated this slave girl wife of his, because she only came to them as a lowly slave, and he likely loitered over her. Imacheres yikachlo, if he marries another girl, she'irak susav onasa lo yigra, he may not lower the standards of his first wife. Says of her so beautifully. This is the only place in the Torah where the Torah talks about sherek sus and ona, which are the obligations that a husband has to a wife. Why is the Torah teaching us the obligations of a husband and a wife only in the case of where a father sold his daughter as a slave at the age of 9? Says Rav Hirsch, it's a kal v'chomer. Says Rav Hirsch, the Torah here is watching the integrity of the responsibility that every husband has for his wife. If you have the responsibility to a lowly maidservant, if this is where you have the obligation of sherek sus va'ona, how much more careful do you have to be about every single Jewish wife to make sure that you're so careful about sherek sus va'ona? That's why the Torah teaches the dafka over here. It's a kal v'chomer. And the Torah is teaching here to make sure that this lowly girl who came from nothing, who's your wife, and her you have to treat her as mamish, a princess, you have to treat her as a queen. Kal v'chomer, how much you have to treat as a queen, everybody else. And one last point. You can do this for homework. One last point. These guys are studying for my reading test today. Just ignore them. Here we go. Last point. They got a lot of reading to do today. Last point. There's one opinion that says, Barry, share ksus v'ona. What are the three obligations? Share is food, ksus clothing, ona is marital relations, intimacy. But some say she'er doesn't mean food. And food is only a takana d'rabanan. Says of Hirsch, it's only a takana d'rabanan to support your wife? What's going on? Says of Hirsch, same idea as before. No, the Torah didn't have to legislate that a man should support his wife with food. That's obvious. It's just for the idiot who will make some shmei to try to get out of it. So midrabanan made it to kazaran, but the Torah didn't have to legislate that. It's obvious. You're living together with somebody. Of course you have to support it. The Torah didn't have to legislate it. That's the last thing. Share in room is achiv abal lozon is ishto. Umizonas in el takanas chachamim. Look at the Ramban. Lafishita zu, hare sheyesh lefanein tuda chashuva od yoter mamada haram shel ha'isha. Lo nizkika ha'tara la'asad chiv ha'mezon shel abav klapa yishto l'tchayvot chukit. The Torah didn't have to make it a tchayvot chukit. Kishem shagam lo chiva before shes avon. By the way, there's no halacha that says that a man has to feed his children. No halacha. Chiv ha'adam lozun is badam mikach is chayv is chukis gamu ena takanas hachamim! Exclamation point. Ukishem shemasra ha'toras gor la'abonim behashkit v'vetach lidei herge shativi shebelev avos b'yisrael. Kain masra skol ha'nashim behashkit v'vetach l'regesh ha'ava v'ha'kavod. Shalana Hashem Yisrael, supporting your wife should come out of the love and honor that you have for her. Not because it says in the Torah that I have to support my wife.
So what, it's supposed,
what does she'er mean?
If it doesn't mean food.
If it doesn't mean food, she'er means... We got to ask Rabbi Klapholz, I forgot. Okay. Rabbi Klapholz, he's in the middle of davening. If she'er doesn't mean mezonos, what does it mean? If mezonos is only takana de rabbanan, so what does she'er mean in the Torah? If he had to think about it, I don't feel so bad that I didn't know it.
You gotta look it up.
She'er means house. Might mean a house.
Oh, shelter.
Maybe, okay. Maybe.
Got it.
It's a guess.
You can ask Rabbi Google.
It's a guess. You can ask Rabbi Google. Yeah, you can ask. We continue to be inspired by Rav Hirsch's macro view of what the whole goal of Judaism and marriage and home and raising children is about. We should be zochet to follow in his ways and to be independent, strong purveyors of the Mesorah, understanding that there's a whole world of Torah Shebaal Peh way outside. Torah Shebaal Ksav is just, it's just the cliff notes, mamish, just a little reminder of a vast, vast way of life. For Rav Hirsch, the Torah is not just a book of laws, it's a way of life. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for coming.